Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Welcome to a new year. Jen is with me, and you're definitely part of the show now, Jen.
I am. It's official.
Right. Now we can't reverse it. So
nope.
There you are. You're stuck here.
Happy to be stuck.
Yeah. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
How was your New Year's? Was it fun?
It was
memorable?
Fun. It was fun. It was memorable, and I know what I would do different next year.
Really?
Yeah.
So you went to a party at the Four Seasons, right?
For about 10 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, what happened?
It was slightly geriatric. And we left.
Oh, God.
We asked for our money back and then went to Pearls, where we always end up.
Yeah.
Because we know the owners, and it was fun.
Yeah.
And it was free.
I know. What do you want to do around older people, right?
Well, we thought it would be a classy New Year's.
Yeah, that like a good mix or something, huh?
Right. But it seemed a little bit more like someone's bar mitzvah and his grandparents were there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, maybe because it's the Four Seasons. Isn't it kind of conservative or...
It's conservative with a hint of, like, hooker. I don't know. You know. I don't know what the per capita hooker is, but we were very uncomfortable. And so
did they give you your money back?
They did.
Wow.
They were very kind about it.
Yeah. Very cool.
It was very nice in theory. Like, there was, you know, great decor. It was very holiday oriented. We got, you know, festive hats. However, it wasn't where we felt comfortable staying all night, especially because the $50 to get in did not include drinks.
Oh, really?
No, it included like a seat and a view of the old people. So
you figured the old people are not going to buy you drinks probably.
No. And we didn't want to spend $20 per drink. So we went to Pearls, yeah, where everyone knows our name and drinks were free.
God, it's so great to be a hot chick, man. You don't have to pay for anything, huh?
It is pretty great.
Yeah.
Gotta milk it until I'm no longer one of those and have to pay for my own drinks.
Well, it probably, hopefully it never get to that, you
right.
know, but yeah, I mean, enjoy it now, you know, I mean,
thanks.
You might as well, right?
Yeah.
Men will spend money on anything for anybody just with the hope they'll get into their pants.
Oh gosh. I don't know why they do that, but good for them.
Yeah, thank exactly. You right. You benefit from it.
Right. What did you end up doing?
We went out to dinner and we had sushi
mm-hmm.
at Katsuya. Do you like sushi?
I love sushi.
Yeah.
That's
everybody in LA loves sushi. What
I can
is
eat
it?
That every day.
Really?
Every day.
Yeah, I know people like that. I can't eat it every day. But it was good. And and it was fun, you know. And no parties or anything to speak of.
Mm-hmm.
But... so mine wasn't as exciting as yours. Now, where did you end up going?
To Pearls.
Pearls.
On Sunset.
Is that a club or something?
It's a bar and restaurant.
Okay.
And so we have friends that own it, and we just always end up there. It's nearby where we live, and it's always fun. So we went there because we knew it would be a sure bet.
Oh, okay. So it was like a party? I mean, or was it just a restaurant?
No, there was a party. There was a party, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, and there was a younger crowd there, I imagine.
Yeah. It's a little more our speed for New Year's. Next year, though, or this year, I would like to go to like Big Bear, rent a house with all my friends, and just have a great time in
the house. That would be a good idea.
Stay from like the 30th to the 2nd, mm-hmm. couple days.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Except, you know, when it was snowing, was it a Big Bear or it was another lake or something? But there was like traffic stuck in snow. They had to rescue the people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got to be careful at this time of the year driving there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because people didn't know if there'd even be snow at all.
Right.
And then they got snowed in.
Yeah.
I would be happy just being in a house with all my favorite people when it's snowing outside and we just have to hang inside, play games, drink, eat, watch movies.
I agree. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next year.
Okay. All right.
It's happening.
Yeah. The holidays are pretty far right now.
I know. I don't even know what to do with myself.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of a bummer when the holidays are over.
Yeah, there's
a
slight depression, I feel like. That's
you know, because you're on such a high and everything, and then suddenly it just stops. It ends.
Right. The season ends, and then you're like, oh,
and then you're faced with months and months of work before we get another vacation or something. So,
We do have President. No, what is the first – holiday, Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, is that
January
what
January 19th.
Okay, well, that's not a holiday. That doesn't count, you know, because there's not like... No, I mean, it's a holiday, but it's not like Christmas where you celebrate and
right.
people go shopping
exactly.
and stuff, you know.
There's no decorations.
It's a one-day
no presents.
Thing. Yeah.
People don't work that day, though, so...
Yeah, that's true. No, it is an important holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt.
Definitely.
But just like all the one-day holidays that don't involve a lot.
Right.
Except for, I guess, Valentine's Day, you know, women like that one.
Yep, women do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll be wearing pink
attention,
or red that day.
Huh? What's that?
I'll be wearing pink or red that day, for sure. Very festive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in a couple of minutes, we're going to get to a special guest who's sitting here patiently, and we're going to play some music and everything, so that's going to be really cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Now, just a couple of things. Well, it's all bad news today, you know? I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on here, but it's all like, you know, a baby found dead and... This 7-year-old girl, crash survivor.
Well, that's good news. She survived.
She survived, but she, she's like, what are they saying? She's like, she's looking for mom and dad, you know, so.
Well, she's orphaned now, and they started
yeah.
a fund for her because she was the only one that survived out of a crash that, you know, killed
yeah,
four.
7 years old.
Her parents, her cousin.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Was that like a private plane or something?
Yeah, I think it was their plane.
Oh, okay.
And it crashed in Kentucky, and she walked through, like, the forest to someone's house.
Yeah. Wow.
And, I mean, a 7-year-old. You think about, like, those people that we always talk about, you know, who survives things.
Right.
Or who just gives up. The 7-year-old actually, like, saved
yeah.
herself.
Yeah. It's that instinct to survive, you know? I mean, we're born with it.
Yeah.
But they're saying it was a very rough territory she went through.
Uh-huh.
You know? Wow. Amazing. Imagine growing up and having those memories and stuff.
I know. I was thinking about that. Like, it's great that, you know, they're starting a fund for her and she's going to have financial stability, but she has no parents now.
Right.
And she has this tragic memory. But it's going to be interesting to see in a couple years, like, when they look back, like, whatever happened to that 7-year-old?
Right.
Or they make a movie about it.
Yeah.
And see where she is now and what she makes of her life. That'll be kind of interesting, I think.
Right. Wow. To plunge someone that young into this kind of thing is, wow. I mean, I admire this, you know. I mean, it's like she didn't think twice about it. She just kind of walked and found, where did she end up? I don't know. She was
someone's
dressed,
house.
She was dressed for Florida, I guess. Shorts, no coat. And it was cold there.
The like dead of winter in Kentucky.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, it's amazing
inspiring.
She survived that walk.
Yeah, if a 7-year-old can survive a plane crash and that walk and yeah. has the will to live and,
yeah.
you know.
She's not meant to die at this point.
That's no, but and all of us, I mean, we should get up every morning and be like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
If she can do this, I can definitely go about my day.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, you know. Also, well, better news, I guess. Sylvester Stallone, did you hear he was going to do another Rambo and another Rocky? Now, this guy is like almost 100 years old. I don't know how the hell he's going to pull it off, you know? I mean, this thing is, Rambo was a soldier. Okay, so he was retired. He was a little older. But, I mean, come on now. I mean, this guy is like... one foot in the grave, you know. I mean, I hope he forgives me for saying that.
He's still
how
kicking.
Old is he?
I have no idea, but I also like that those characters will live on forever. Like,
yeah.
he will not let them die.
Yeah, he's not. I mean,
he's not dead, and neither are those characters.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to milk them for anything he can, you know.
Good for him.
He's 68 years old. I mean, to look like that and to play those parts is amazing, you know?
Yeah.
How do you do all that rigorous stuff? My God. So for that, I admire him, you know? I mean, he hasn't given up at all.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So I guess he's doing a Rocky also. It's going to come out next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm not eager to see that. I mean, the 7th Rocky? Come on. Who wants to see that?
Not me.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of them, and I probably shouldn't admit that. I need to see at least one.
Why? Who cares?
I don't know. It's like those cult classics.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, let's get to our guests today. We have a couple of guests, and we have a singer here from Israel, or originally from Israel, but now you live here.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you go by Good the name morning. Of Queen of Fear.
Queen of Fear.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. And you brought your manager with you. His name is Ron, right?
Yes.
Ron, get to the mic.
Yes. Good morning,
Good
LA.
Morning. It's Ron what? What's your
Ron
last name?
Jones.
Ron Jones.
I know, an Italian with Jones.
Yeah, huh?
It used to be Gotti. I'm in the witness protection plan.
Right. And it must make you feel real special. I mean, there's not a lot of Ron Joneses out there, right?
Yeah, right. At most go-go bars and motels, that Ron Jones name comes up a lot.
Oh, yeah? Okay, they named themselves that. Okay.
Oh, Ronnie.
So, Ophir, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, we met here. You came on as a guest on another show.
Yes.
And you played your music, and I liked it. And it also, and we also found out we're both from Israel,
oh,
so
yeah.
We had a common language.
I feel left out.
Yeah. So well, you don't have to. You're a Jew too, so yeah. We're all Jews here, and yeah, and that's what's important, you know.
Except the Italian, but he's Jews at heart. He's
yeah.
Jewish
that's
at heart.
Right.
Very
we,
similar.
We owned you guys at one time.
Oh yeah, 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 right.
Ron, where did you move here from? I'm sure you're not from here, right?
Actually, I left New Jersey on vacation here, and I know. Never went back.
Really?
I was running for senator of New Jersey.
Are you oh, serious?
Wow. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been in political elected office since 1979.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Ophir, did you know that?
Yes, I know everything him? About this guy.
Oh, really?
We've known each other for 2 years.
Wow. How did you guys meet?
I went to a Wells Fargo party.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
And he was there? You were at the Wells Fargo party. Wow. So you guys started talking and you let him know you're a singer and everything? And
yeah, actually, he looked at me, so like I'm all glitz and glamour. And yeah, we start talking and we hit off really well. We're best friends.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And were you a manager for musicians before, Ron?
No, I was in politics, and I was actually an advisor to some major Fortune 100 companies.
Oh, wow. So how did you become a musical manager? I mean, did that start when you met her?
When an Israeli woman cries that she needs a manager.
You become one, huh?
Yeah, actually, she had another manager, and I had partnered with him, and then he moved on to other projects, and I stayed with Ophir.
Oh, okay, cool.
He stayed true because he believes in me a lot.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Now, so let's find out about your start and everything, how you ended up here and all that. Mm-hmm. So you were born in Israel, right?
Yes.
And what city were you born in?
I was born in Nahariya, which Nahariya. Means God's River.
Yeah. That's right. That's what it means. I never even wondered what it means.
Nahariya.
Right. Uh-huh. And
quite magical because one of the newspapers wrote about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that's north of Haifa. It's almost like on the border of the northern
oh, okay.
border
the northern
of
border of Israel is sick. It's really the north. The north you can go by uh-huh. Lebanon.
Right, as far north as you can go.
About 5 kilometers from Lebanon.
Right. But it's a touristy town.
That's right.
We used to go there when I was young and stuff because back then it was expensive to travel overseas and stuff. And plus, it wasn't safe for Israelis to travel overseas, you know, to Europe and everything. I remember when we traveled, my parents would tell us, don't speak Hebrew loud because people will know we're Israelis, you know. So
yeah.
At an early age already, they make you afraid of the Arabs, you know.
All the time.
But with good reason, I think. They want us all in the sea, you know. So,
nice.
Yeah. But
But Nahariya, it's a huge attraction for
right.
her. You know, now they renovate the entire city. You won't even recognize it.
Really?
It's that beautiful.
Wow.
It's
and it's small and stuff, you
yeah,
know, but it's
cute.
Nice. It's really cool.
I wonder if they took me there when I was on Birthright. I don't remember. They
probably not. It's not one of the places they take you on Birthright.
No.
Yeah. They take you to sleep with the camels and everything,
I
right?
did that. I did
yeah.
that in a Bedouin tent.
Yeah.
I wasn't so into it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'd like a hotel.
You'll have a better shot in the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Birthright is a trip that Jewish and Israeli American-born kids that are born to Israeli parents and Jewish kids.
Jewish descent.
Right. They give them like a free trip to Israel to hopefully make you want to make Aliyah and stuff. And,
yeah.
And
it's our birthright to go there and see it at least once.
Right.
Basically.
And you should.
Exactly. So right. I went. I took the
So
free
you
trip.
Went and you enjoyed it.
I loved it.
Yeah. How old were you when you went?
25. Whatever the oldest age was. I think I was 26, actually.
Yeah, it was actually a later age, right? Because some people go like at 19, 20, you know, after high school and stuff. But my kids went separately, and they enjoyed it a great deal, you know. So I guess because you always hear about Israel and everything, and you want to go and see what it's about, right?
Absolutely.
And for you, it was a free trip. What
right.
the hell?
I was like, well, I can't afford to go somewhere, and they're offering me a free trip. So yes, I'm going to go.
Just hop on a plane and go. It's free. Come on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I made friends. I got to travel. It was wonderful.
Yeah. So did you meet some cool Israeli people on the trip?
I did. Of like course, I ended the up soldiers with an Israeli boyfriend.
Oh, really?
One of the soldiers. Well,
yeah, it's usually one of the soldiers.
4 years younger than me, no big deal.
Yeah. You see, they got a tough job, huh? They just go with the tourists, all the hot American girls.
Yeah,
that's right.
And they probably don't even have Israeli girlfriends. They end up with American ones all the time. Which is cool.
They say, oh, wow, I'm going to finish the army. I go with you to America.
Exactly. Everybody's got the American dream in Israel.
Yeah,
everybody wants to come here. And that's right. Unfortunate because they made a country for the Jews and they want to leave, you know.
Right. We want to be in America.
But yeah, but Jews are like...
if you're cosmopolitan, that's pretty much where you're thinking first to go.
Right.
Right.
That's true, yeah. And everybody wants to come here, you know. I mean, sure. That's a land of unlimited opportunities. At least it used to be called that.
Right.
And but yeah, you know, we were like Rolling Stones. Jews like to go everywhere, and they can't stay in one place, you know.
Yeah, I have family in Europe, too.
Do you
and they're
really?
Happy in Germany. They're happy.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they move there from Israel or were they always
there?
No,
they moved from Israel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they're very happy in Germany. It's like, it's just good.
Yeah.
Life is good. You can live anywhere you want. Mm-hmm. I have friends live in Belgium. I have friends everywhere.
Yeah. Very cool. So you were born in Aria. Did you have a nice childhood there?
I tell you the truth, when I was a child... That was not too long ago, but it's always you under a kind of cloud.
Yeah.
There's a cloud of
where you don't know everything
cloud.
That's going on. Yeah.
It's like every time, any time of the day and the night, it could be something, you know.
Yeah.
So it's you live with sort of a fear that you don't know how tomorrow going to be. So.
Fear of what? Of like war and stuff?
Yeah, it's fear of your own your security.
Right.
You know? It's always a security issue in Israel. Israel is in Hebrew. Yeah. You have to stand on guard.
That's how I felt when I was there. And people were like, don't you feel safe now that you're here? Like, you hear about all this stuff, but when you actually get there...
You don't take it for granted.
Well, I was on high alert, personally. Yeah. I would, like, check the bus before we got on it. Yeah. No, like, I knew that we had people on our bus that, like, could protect us because we had our Israeli soldiers that were there. But they weren't working. They were just there.
Yeah, they were socializing.
Right. They were having the experience with us. That is the whole point. So I was on high alert. I was like, I'm going to check under this bus if you don't mind. I'm going to maybe
tell
check
you the
some
truth,
bags.
I have, you're talking buses, and my heart, I get chills when you hear buses because... When I was there, 2008, I think it was, I was going to go to a friend, you know, one of my journalist friends, to his office. He said, just come over. I'm going to give you these two tickets free for you and another guest to spend a holiday in a hotel because I'm not going to be using them.
Right.
Famous, good hotel. I said, are you kidding me? I want to take the bus. And it's not too far. 20 minutes. Just hop on a bus. It's not too far. You go on Island View or something like that. And just go over. So I ended up not taking the bus. I just missed the bus. That bus was exploded. Because I had a feeling.
Wow.
I am not going to go on the buses. I'm scared of buses because I have friends that died in a bus crash.
Really?
Yeah. Because it exploded. And a friend of mine had left 9 kids behind. He died because he was in front of the bus and the bus exploded by Jerusalem somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he died. And since that time, I never take buses.
Right.
So, I was lucky, that bus. I had a feeling... I don't know. I'm scared of buses. I'm not going to take it.
Wow.
And I just let it pass. And that bus.
Wow.
So I knew I was saved.
I just got chills.
I was saved, yeah. Because buses it's a risk.
Yeah, it's a big target.
I would
target.
Not take a bus in Israel.
Yeah.
No, and also like going to the movie theaters and things like that. You heard like of things being blown up because there's lots of kids there, and there's
But in Israel, the policy is that everywhere you go, it's public, and there's a lot of people shopping mall. They're all protected. They have a full security.
Everywhere you go, I mean, you pull into a parking lot, there's security. They check your trunk and everything.
Yeah, which I appreciated, but I was still on high alert. Yeah, I was like, if there has to be security, I need to be aware of what's going on.
Right. So. But you were a tourist, you know. I mean, people in Israel couldn't live like that if they were afraid all the time.
Right.
So people go about their lives, and when this stuff happens, you stop for a moment, you think, you remember where you are.
Yeah.
But you've got to live, you know. So people are just accustomed to it.
Right.
To all the security and everything.
Yeah, they're really, really resilient in Israel. I ask friends, hey, how are you doing? How is Israel? Ah, same.
Yeah, same.
I know it.
Exactly.
They live with it. You know, part of life.
The same, yeah. Like convoluted politics and all that stuff, too.
The thing is that, you know, the music industry in general or any kind of entertainment is always take the last seat.
Mm.
So whenever something happens, everybody forgets about entertainment anyway, right? So it's always a rocking kind of train. It's never like a solid career that I felt that this is going to... Especially when I like singing in different languages. I felt that I have to go elsewhere. I went to Canada first.
Right. So now you started singing from an early age?
Yeah, I started singing when I was 12.
Wow.
I started writing when I was 11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. So did you, did you do with it anything while you were a teenager? I mean, did you pursue
I only was writing, and I used to be very big on entertainment for events. Any events in school, that was me. You know, drama, anything that to do with entertainment on a Friday night, we had a Friday afternoon that we were doing things. There was all the time I was into anything.
Right.
Music and acting and, you know, anything to do with entertainment and creation.
Yeah, except to sit in an office from 9 to 5. That's not
That was never me.
Yeah. Well, you're a creative type, you know. I mean, these people can't sit in one place too long, you know.
Yeah, you know, I tell you one thing. One time I was fired from a job because there was over creative for... I walked into an office, it was boring, so I decided to decorate it. And my boys come after a week of vacation and said, what is it? Is it a hotel here? Is it a lobby? So he, you know, he told me basically, I think you're overqualified for this job.
Well, decorated the whole office. That sounds like a woman.
It was amazing, though. Wow.
Men don't care, you know. I mean.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, I stay true to my roots, since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Even my mom's very artistic. That was
really
very powerful. Mm-hmm. I create cartoons. I draw, I write, I sing, act, create characters, write concept, commercials. I was always into artistic.
Wow. Yeah. So did your parents recognize that? I mean, did they like nourish that, or did they say get a real job?
Oh, you
what
know,
happened?
My mom just thought that you have a flow, just something that, you know, you're
very
good.
Cool.
You know, my father was like, you know, is this what you want? And I approve everything that you want because I want you to be happy.
It's very supportive. Yeah. You're very lucky.
My mom said you're very fortunate. You have a lot of talent.
So right.
She loved my music a lot.
Great. Did you start playing an instrument early on?
Well, you know, as far as instruments, my mom signed me to a class to learn a keyboard.
Uh-huh.
And the first day when I went to the class, somebody robbed her car outside. My sister was also for a keyboard and a guitar. Uh-huh. And that was the last time I ever seen the class. Till about 2003, I studied 1 year in school, music and keyboard.
Right.
That's it. I haven't played that much. But I
really?
Create without it.
So you create music without instruments?
Yeah,
I create
everything in my head. If you say, Ophir, I want you to write me a song about, the white sky, the blue, the doves, mm-hmm. I'll figure it out.
Really?
Yeah, and it will come out great.
Wow, very cool. So you brought us a few songs here. We might as well play some of the songs.
I'm excited to hear them.
Yeah. And now, so these are songs that you created without an instrument. It just came to you in your head?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
For example, well, I don't know which song are you referring to, but most of my songs I write myself, including writing the composition.
Right.
And the lyrics. Sometimes I collaborate.
With someone else.
Yeah, so we co-write the melody, but usually I write everything myself.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so let's start. We'll pepper this with music and we'll go back to your life and everything.
Sure.
So you brought us the song Higher.
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about this song.
Okay. I see that a lot of the pop music nowadays is kind of dull music or just bring you down with the high beats. Well, like, oh, you're dead, everything sucks, but, you know, but high right. beats, too, you know, like dance.
Right.
But then I figure, you know, what about good, passionate words that actually incline your energy, help people to survive, mm-hmm. help people to see a future, and also something that gives you a whole new experience. And Higher is my first time that has that kind of experience. When you listen, you get a high, but it's natural. And that's oh, not wow. exist, you know, and that is something very unique. It's about the law of attraction. It's about your survival beyond the general rules and beyond here. You kind of take you above that to the atmosphere. Uh-huh. That when it rises above, it raises your vibration. That causes you to feel good. And when you feel good, everything works for you.
Right. Okay, sounds good. So
sounds
let's
like a
hear
good message.
Ophir, who goes by Queen Ophir, and the song is Higher.
Rising the hour, define your dreams and passion. Step up your game, immaculate reception of the higher connections. Surrender. Vibrant spin connections from cyberspace. Spark its imagination of the passionate eye craves. Invasion of the castle at the heart of stage. Aim it higher. Higher through this color, this discerning answer, let it
say this so we can play more music. This is amazing, you know. I mean, I really like this music.
Thank you.
And I like dance music, you know. Yeah. It's really cool. It's got an upbeat to it. And there's also, like, if you heard, like, during the song, there's, like, sounds of airplanes and stuff like that, right?
Yes.
Is that part of the song, too?
Actually, that was what I did is I was looking for to have somewhat a video behind it, and I didn't have my own video yet because I'm planning a big video. So I was saying, in the meantime, I'm looking for some kind of planes, and me and Ronnie was sitting playing around with some videos, and I was like, you know what? We're going to try this out.
Yeah.
And what she did on one take, she laid her song on top of someone's YouTube video of the United States Air Force Thunderbirds drill team. Mm-hmm. And from start to finish, it's totally synced.
It's synced, and magically, the visuals will blow you away. Yes. Right. We call it, like, discover and go higher, higher. It keeps going higher, and it's like meant for the song.
Exactly.
Right. And even the guy, I think the people
the guy who filmed it.
Who filmed it, they contacted me and said they loved it.
Very cool.
And they shared it, and it's got thousands of views.
Yeah.
So are all of your songs dance songs?
No, I do also, kind of mid-tempo and also artistic creative music that has different themes.
Yeah.
So it's not always dance. But this song was on the ballot for the nomination for consideration for Grammy.
Two of them.
Wow. Two of my songs.
Wow.
That one and another one in Hebrew.
Very cool. So when did you write this song?
This song I wrote in 2014.
Oh, really? So
yeah,
it's new.
A new song, yeah.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would think you need, like, really, like, electronic music in order to be able to write a song like this. You know, I don't think I could write, because I've written songs and stuff, but I don't know if I would write a song in my head like this without an instrument, you know. So I admire that you're able to do that.
Yes, it's playing here. First I come with an idea. And I sit down and write everything in my head. It could be a broom. It doesn't matter. It comes in my head. I write everything.
And so, you know, I mean, it's got like the American beat and style and everything, but I can hear the Israeli.
Me too.
Influence there, right?
Well, yes,
the European, more like.
More even Israeli. I mean, some of the melody.
It reminded me of Tel Aviv.
Did it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, co-producer on it is Gemini.
Yeah. My co-producer, Gemini, he is originally, I think he was born in Israel.
He was definitely born
very,
in Israel.
Very, very good.
Very.
Yeah.
And we're an amazing team. We co-produce together.
Right.
So he loved my stuff. So bring it on, Ophiro.
Yeah. I mean, but the melody is great. Did you try to release the song in Israel too?
I just released it online, and also people can buy copies, but the copy's already gone.
Mm.
So that's why it's only online right now.
Yeah, you can download iTunes.
I have to repress them to sell them more.
Right.
Yeah,
sounds good. Totally. And people, people don't buy CDs, you know? I mean, you might as well just
put
it
online. They buy my shows. Oh, you have a CD? Do you have a CD? Always. Yeah. And my performances, doesn't matter, it could be a concert or can be a, you know, major event. People want a CD. They want something of you to take with them
physical,
home.
Physical,
They
need something in a hand.
That's
a CD, a mug. I create other products. You know, I do beautiful calendar once a year.
Really?
Have 11x17 calendar.
Uh-huh.
So either they buy that or sometimes they give away some stuff. And, you know, I have mugs, coffee mugs. If you drink in the morning and listen to my music, you have me.
There you go. You see? You have Queen Ophir everywhere.
Queen
Ophir coffee.
That's the deal.
So, Ophir, how did you get the Queen? When did you add that to your name?
It's a combination of my previous manager and my current manager that they kind of thought she should be a queen. The
music really?
And Ronnie, you could tell them how.
Well, no, because a queen is something that people aspire to. I mean, we had Cleopatra and so many. It's just a mystical story of people that have made a difference, and Ophir makes a difference. Everything she does is definitely from her heart. It's definitely altruistic, and she's a giving, loving person. Ophir means gold. It's a region in the Bible.
Right.
The Old Testament of gold. So that's what she represents.
Queen of gold.
Queen of gold.
There you go. Very appropriate, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So It, so, I mean, did you release any songs in Israel before you came here? Did you?
I mean,
you wrote some songs in Hebrew.
You know,
stuff,
I
right?
tried actually to release in Israel. The problem was that I didn't have the support team I have here.
I see.
I do know a lot of people, but I felt it's more, it's just do the demos there. Because it's just the way I worked with people there. It wasn't just here, it's much faster. It's better, it's cheaper to work here too.
Right.
It's much cheaper to produce.
It's a lot more limiting there, huh? I mean,
yeah,
less
it's
people
limiting,
to choose from.
Well, even from the equipment standpoint, if you really want high-end equipment, it costs a fortune there.
Yeah.
So I can't end up in a major studio there if I don't have a serious contract. But here I managed to work with a good producer, so if I work with people, you know, it chopped the price a lot.
Great. Now, so did you decide early on you're going to make a professional career out of this? I mean, at what point did you consciously say, okay, I'm not working in an office, I'm going to be a singer?
You know, it's strange, but when you're in Israel as a kid, you don't really dream about a career. You're just trying to live, to make it to the next day,
okay.
to live. So much going on.
Yeah.
It's not about you ever. You cannot concentrate on your career and build it. It's just not. It does not flow. It's too much interruption, news all the time. It's different. But when you are here, you don't have to listen to the news 24/7.
Right.
So you can take time to nourish yourself and grow. And I needed to grow. So beyond Israel, right. I grew so much. Sometimes it's amazing. The lifespan is, it's like three times more than anybody just living, get a dog, a cat, a wife, and two children, right?
Right?
So
yeah.
I've lived a longer.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did decide when I was 12 that people love me on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the people clapped hands the first time I ever went on stage and sang the song, Lu Yehi, whatever will be. It's like, whatever you want will be.
Mm-hmm.
You know the song, Louis?
Yeah, I do.
Powerful tune in Hebrew. It's a beautiful song.
Right.
So that's why I connected the first time. And when Mom saw it, she was in the audience. She said, wow. Wow.
That's very
my
cool.
My daughter.
Yeah, my daughter is a singer.
Yeah, she's singing. Everybody loved the song.
Right.
Love her singing it. Everybody was amazed. So that's why I first connected. When I was 26, I was in an event in New York.
Uh-huh.
And when I performed, I saw people got up and start clapping. And they wanted more. They didn't want to leave the stage.
Oh, wow.
And I felt a connection. I said, this is what I love.
Yeah.
This is what I love.
Right.
No one can take that away from me.
Right, yeah.
And last year I performed at the White House, so that was a huge accomplishment.
Really?
Yeah, because my manager is the best.
Yeah. Connected in politics and everything, huh?
The best.
Yeah, I called Michelle. She said, give the girl a chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you sing for them?
I had a great time, huh?
What did you sing for them?
Well, I decided to sing in two languages. I sang a song in Hebrew, one in English. I sang a different song in Hebrew that I co-written with a 2002 best composer in Israel, Shmuel Elbaz.
Okay, I probably don't know him. I mean, I told you, I've been here almost 40 years. I don't know what's going
so
on.
So I sang this song called Wings of Passion, Al Kodfechuka in Hebrew.
Okay.
And then I sang, I didn't have a hire at that time, but I sang The Passion Show, which I achieved international award several years ago by VH1 and Save the Music Foundation, top four internationally for dance pop.
Nice, very cool.
Yeah, so I sang that, and I sang in Spanish a song I've written called Ella Rompe Ventanas.
What does that mean?
Oh, she breaks windows.
Oh, she breaks windows. Okay.
Yeah, nasty
sounds
girl.
Good.
And that's a song I've written too, you know. Spanish.
You mean she's breaking windows with her screams or what?
Oh,
exactly?
Now you have to figure. When you listen to it, you get the drill. This is a double entendre.
Yeah.
You know, connection that some guys underestimate the power of a girl, a woman.
Right.
They just think she's just hot, good looking, she caused the street, she caused the fire. You know, she's just standing on a pole and somebody get into an accident watching. It actually happened. I was on a photo shoot in Santa Clarita. Uh-huh. And I'm just standing by the railroad and we're doing a photo shoot with a truck, with a train behind. Uh-huh. And these two guys were driving and I'm just looking because they had the mirrors and everything. It's unbelievable. That guy crashed.
He crashed his car?
Bumped into the other guy looking at the railroad.
Yeah. Well, something similar happened to me a couple times when I was, but one time I was in Hollywood. I was slowing down to a red light, and then I saw a nice pair of legs. So I looked, and bam, I hit the car in front of me.
You don't see women doing that.
No,
we don't stop our car. We don't get into accidents because of someone.
Well, men don't do to you what women do to men.
That's a point. Give me five. Yeah. That is the point.
Yeah, you know. Men go crazy. You know, I mean, we lose our. We have no reason or logic. You know, I mean, it's just you see a nice pair of legs or something, and you go, wow, you know.
Gotta
look. It's like you don't even think about it.
I was with a beautiful miniskirt, though,
that probably caused it.
That pair of high heels.
But that never makes it onto the police report, you know. It's, the glare of the light and the sun reflected off the mirror and blinded me. And legs is never included in that police report.
That would be much funnier news.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wish there was a story like that we could report on.
Yeah, I'm sure these things happen all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So we're talking to Israeli-born singer Queen Ophir and her manager Ron Jones. And so let's play another song. Now, you brought us an Israeli song, a Hebrew song,
A Hebrew song, yeah, I've written for all the Jewish people in the world. It's called Sound of the Jewish Soul. And my dear manager here sent it to everybody.
Yes,
really.
But it actually has a very interesting way it was developed. She is a genius because I actually had a dream of a gentleman who came to me, Menachem Perlinsky, who was killed by the Nazis in Germany in the 1940s, early 1940s, came to me in a dream and asked me to take those souls that were unsettled and move them into the next dimension by making Jews now recognize that if you forget what happened then, it will occur again.
Right.
I just gave this, in a dream, I gave it to Ophir, and she just ran with it.
Wow, very cool.
Amazing.
So we're going to play this. Obviously, most people will not understand the lyrics, but that's pretty much what it is, right? I mean, it's like to remind people of what happened.
It's actually about the childhood. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we could do that when you're going to post it, just have the information in English lyrics.
Right.
I have it, I'll give it to you so the people will understand. It's about the soul. It's about the good soul of a human being, when he was born and come to life and see it through the window. It's very metaphor throughout the entire song. And in the middle of the song, I put the segment from the Bible. It's called Shira Ma'alot, the song of elevation.
Oh, okay,
it's
cool.
It's a powerful prayer.
So we'll play, let's see, we don't have time for the entire thing, but we'll play about half of it or something.
Super.
And see, so this song is the sound of the Jewish soul.
Sound of the Jewish soul.
Queen of Fear.
אגדה אל ילדותך המתוקה שהאור
That was pretty. I don't know what it said, but it was very pretty.
I know. Usually, excuse me. Usually I don't pay attention to lyrics that much, you know, but because I try to focus on the music. But the lyrics are forceful here. I mean, you know, so you have a link to where the lyrics are in English?
I think it's on the YouTube description, but I can get you the description. You can post it.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good. So, I mean, but this song stands on its own. I don't care what language it's in, you know. I think the beat is cool, the melody. I think the song would easily make number one in Israel, you know. I mean, so are you trying to market your music there,
I'm actually looking into it because I don't know the roots there, how exactly I can do it. I don't have a major label.
Right. You need connections. That's what you need.
Yes, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but they do. But they did play a song I wrote in 2009 for Gilad Shalit. They played on the radio, on Kol Yisrael, and I think Reshet Bet both played the song, and I got a beautiful letter from the family.
Wow, really cool.
It's a powerful song I written about Gilad Shalit, and I was hoping that and praying that he will be released, and finally it was released two years ago, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank God. I mean, 2012.
Oh, Fierce written songs in dedication and memory of Natalie Holloway. She's done songs for the Cancer Society. One of her tracks is called Fire Escape. It's a tribute to the firefighters that went to the World Trade Center, which is really ironic because I only met her 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, I had passed a federal bill, the last vote of the 2010 Congress, for $4.7 billion to give dying 9/11 responders medical benefits.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, here we come together.
Right.
It's amazing.
When
you
found that I wrote the song,
yeah,
you missed.
Yeah, I was like shocked.
Wow, very cool.
And actually, it's the anthem for the 9/11 responders.
Oh, wow.
We released that last year, a special tribute for...
Special tribute.
With Cops for Causes and two major organizations.
The Feel Good Foundation and the Johnny Mac. What most people don't know is since 9/11, 1,400 responders have died.
Since then?
Since then.
Wow.
And that number is growing significantly.
Wow. Well, yeah. So is this CD available, Fire Escape?
Yes. All my music is available online. Anyone can buy either a hard copy if they contact me. PassionShowRecords@gmail.com.
Okay.
Or they go online and find me on two iTunes, either Ophir or Queen Ophir. My new stuff are on Queen Ophir.
Right.
And the other one is on Ophir.
Okay. Now, do you have a website too?
Yes.
Where people can check it out?
It's QueenOphir.com. Queen, I'm a queen.
Queen
Ophir. OFIR.com.
OFIR. And you can probably find out more about you and your music and everything.
Yes.
Very cool. Well, we're very excited you came.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, of course. I always like great music, great musicians, creative people. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you made it.
Yes, you know? It's fun.
So, well, all the best to you and your career.
I just want to announce something.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a beautiful brand new calendar coming out.
Oh, really?
For 2015,
oh, great.
16,
uh-huh.
11 by 17. And all the new fans and the fans that I have, they've been waiting for something hot and new. So something is coming up very soon. It'll be up for sale on my website, and I'm going to give out some gifts too.
I see. So it's like hot pictures and stuff of you.
Oh, very hot.
Okay, sounds good. Everybody go out, get the calendar. All right. Well, check out queenofear.com. You'll find links and emails and to everything that she does. And yeah, that's it, Ron. Thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Radio is local.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be.
Right.
Talk radio.
Right.
Thank you so much.
But we are heard all over the world, so that's the cool thing about it.
My cousin in Tibet said he knew you.
Really? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm getting famous in Tibet now.
Awesome.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, you two.
Thank you very much.
Jen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam.
As always. And everybody, thank you. Get out there and work because the year just started. There's no more holidays.
Nope.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
Ooh.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.